Our scripture is from Ephesians 2, chapters 1 through 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now known at the work of those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. For this is the word of God to his people.
Thanks be to God. Moment that the voice is changing. Did you get that? Oh my goodness, they are growing. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful because we can come to listen to your word. We are so thankful because you are here to root us in what is the truth. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit be the one who speaks to all of us and through all of us. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. We are right now in this season where we are learning more about where are we rooted? What is the place where we root our faith and we grow in our Christian walk? And especially as United Methodists, we can hear a lot of things of what does it mean to be Methodist? But there are some of these specific things that actually are very powerful about our denomination. Last week, we talked about we are called the religion of the heart. But we have a religion of the heart that it has a specific foundation. The foundation is where? In Christ. That's why we have that religion in Christ, and that helps us to be transformed, but also it empowers us. We also talk about how this is very special for the United Methodists. We believe in the orthodoxy, orthopathy, and orthopraxis. Now, this is, as I called you, these are the nerd words. Let me go to regular human words. And what it means is that we have that connection. We have our beliefs that's in our head. We believe in the scripture. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But that also makes an impact in our emotions. And through our emotions, and I'm talking emotions more than feelings, our emotions actually come and have a result, and that is in our actions. We act based on our emotions. We act based on our beliefs. And that's very strong for all of us as United Methodist people. We believe in that. Now, we're going to talk about something that's very special. But to get there, I want to share something that I learned last week in the ministry center with Pastor Abdon while he was preaching in there. And he was talking about this big tree. Do you know that name, these trees? Can you say the word? Sequoia. Okay, sequoia trees. They are humongous. Have any of you have seen one in your life? They are amazing trees. Just so you have a little bit of a perspective, if you have never been able to see, look at the size of that person in there. You know, it's humongous. They are big trees. But there is something very special. Besides, these are trees that are like for thousands of years. One other thing that is unique is regardless of how tall they are, sometimes the expectation is that their roots are probably very deep and profound. And it's not like that. They have something very unique on this tree called intertwined root system. So what they do is they grow, connecting the roots with other trees, and through that, they keep themselves up. It's a very unique system. But through this, Pastor Abdon was explaining what does it mean for all of us to be able to be rooted in Christ and in his grace. It's a way that we understand how is that through all that strength of those roots connecting with each other maintains that tree strong. That makes me think about grace. How do we maintain ourselves strong? How do we keep going in life with the different things that we need to experience? The way we are capable to do that is when we root ourselves in that grace that comes from our God. And if there is something that I love about all of us in the Methodist Church is to talk about grace. That's one of our key places where we ground our doctrine. But we talk about grace in different aspects, and many of you probably already know that. So we talk about the grace of God is actually in three different ways that is manifested to all of us. The first one, we call it prevenient grace. If you look in the dictionary, it's not there. It's kind of a Methodist word in many ways. And it always shows you when you write it down, it puts that red line under it, like you're spelling it wrong, but it's not. This is the right way to pronounce prevenient grace. So what does this mean? I want you to see that word actively. There is a big intention in God to follow and to look for you, to show you his love. There are times when I'm concerned because when people are talking about the faith and talking about the connection with God, I have heard sometimes descriptions of saying, you know, sometimes I feel that I need to be looking for God, like he's playing hide and seek with me. But when we see what the scripture says, and when we understand the manifestation of God, we realize that there is a strong intention constantly in God to show where he is. And if we can see him, you just look at that empty cross and you remember there that one of the main places where God is talking is when he comes and he becomes like one of you and me. He feels like you and me. He lives like you and me, as the clearest way to let you know that he's here trying to show his grace to you. So it is through this prevenient grace that we can see the confirmation of the word of God that we find in Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." We have been there, amen? And sometimes, probably some of us, we're still there. But the security that we have and the assurance that we have is that God is looking and seeking for us. Perhaps for you, that has been something that is already part of your story. You're already in that path of God. But isn't it one of the most wonderful promises when you think about that and you think in that family member, in that friend, that you know that they need to come to Christ. And then you're trying to pray hard for them because you want to be sure that they come to God's path. But you hear that God telling you, "I'm seeking for them. I am seeking actively." I have shared with you before that as a mother, and any of you who are moms here, perhaps one of the strongest prayers that we have is, "God, allow my children to discern to your voice and follow you." Amen? Don't we all pray the same? God, over anything else, over success in work, over success in different things, for me, the most important thing is that my children seek you and follow you. And sometimes when I'm praying that and I'm insisting, and I'm very stubborn with God, and I know, as I have said, I'm the only stubborn person in the world with God. And I am, "God, really, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen that you're taking my children in your hands. I am in this business of being working for you, but and I know you're taking care of me, but it's more important for me to know that you are having my children in your hands." And I keep insisting in English and Spanish and whatever language I have. And the answer of God is always, "Lupina, do you understand that I love them more than you do? Do you get it that your love as a mother is limited compared to the love that I have for them? And I'm seeking for them too." So that's the promise that we have from God. So when we are talking about seeking, what we see what God is doing in this prevenient grace is when you and I have the capacity to sometimes feel that stirring up in our soul. You're feeling like somehow God is coming and shaking you. Even though you were trying to get far away from God, he's kind of coming and messing with your agenda in a good way to kind of redirect you to him. Have you been there? When you're like, "God, are you trying to tell me something?" And then you hear stories of people saying, "You know, I don't know why is this happening to me." And you sense how God speaking to you. This is also prevenient grace, the season when we are empowered to respond. This is something important for all of us. Somehow, God has put in all of us the capacity to discern. That's the next thing. To discern so we can respond between something that is good or something that is bad. We come with that in our nature. We have the capacity to recognize goodness. And that is why God is using that way, so he can come and tell us where the direction is. Where is he talking to all of us? Going back to these plants makes me think in the root in this place. As you can see, all this root system, you can see how one of these roots are trying to reach out to the other root to make that root stronger. That's what makes me think about prevenient grace. There is an intention on reaching out. And you can see that root saying, "I'm getting there. I'm reaching out. I'm going to get there." And that is exactly what God is doing in prevenient grace. He's coming and seeking for all of us so we can reach out to him, discern the truth, and follow him. The next kind of grace, and the other way we describe it, is what we call it as the justifying grace. This is that stage when we say, God has acted in Jesus Christ. We just need only to respond in faith. This is the action of God when he's telling us clearly, in Jesus you can see the love that I'm giving to you. It is when you understand that that sacrifice of the Lord in the cross is not just a historical event, but becomes part of your own story. It's when you realize, you know, this is very deep for me. This is something what I need to connect with. So you are called to make a response. And this is where specifically we find ourselves coming in a reconciliation with God. We understand through that sacrifice that is a way where God is coming to be part of my story. It's a place where I can find forgiveness. And it's a place where I find restoration. And that's the beautiful thing of our faith, is that we know that when we come to God, it's not just to me to say, you know, I have been a bad person and that's it. It's come to be restored. It's like that water coming and cleansing you and giving you the opportunity of a new enriching mercy. Scripture here is exactly what we heard today. It says, but God being rich in mercy because of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This is a very deep scripture, but it's very important to have that in context. And you have the rest of the context in your Bible or in your bulletin. And what it's talking about is how that grace is manifested in a way that gives life to all of us. When we are thinking about this, it makes me think in this situation, and in this experience in my life. This was my house that we had in Toledo, Ohio. Probably it's the same house now, but you cannot see it because of the snow. Maybe it's up to the roof today. But this was a very cute house. And if any of you have been a pastor in the Methodist system, you understand that we have something called a parsonage. So they assign you a house. It has a lot of great adventures when you have a parsonage in many ways. And every single wall has the same color in every Methodist church, in case you didn't know that. I don't know why. Maybe it's in the discipline, but I haven't found it. But anyway, so we were in this house, and it has a little charm. But there was a lot of things that we needed to adjust to this house. It has a very unique, lace the setting of the house, the floor plan. The floor plan was very, very special. You know, and there were some places that I never understood. Like, that was our kitchen. That's Pedro when he was a little kid. But if you can see, the place where you wash the dishes is here, but the dishwasher was over here, and then the stove was over here, and the stove, everybody could walk by you while you are cooking. And if I wanted to take something to the dishwasher, I needed to go through a table and then get there. It was very weird. But the other thing that happened is it was like a lot of squares. So one of the situations, too, is that Elizabeth, that was when she was a baby, Elizabeth took longer to walk because she really didn't need to walk in the house. You see, she will stand up. She would love to get on the stairs back and forth. But she wasn't interested in walking because the house didn't allow her to do that. She was very funny because she would put her hands on a table and she starts dancing. She will always be doing that. She still does that. As soon as she hears music, like probably because of the father, she starts just dancing. But she was like, I am not going to walk. I don't need to walk in this house. Actually, I can't walk in this house because it was just like little steps to get anywhere. And then the second floor, the roof was in a diagonal, like angular like this. And if you see my husband who was singing here, every time we were in the second floor where the bedrooms were, he couldn't walk in all the bedrooms like that. He will be walking and he will need to be going like that. Me, Mexican, I was like, this is my perfect size. Yeah. But every time I was like going like this. So what happened is we needed to accommodate to the house. And that was getting in the way of our growth. In our growth as family or this development of my child. And even for Abel, if we have stayed on that house, probably he will have right now a back pain after that. But you see, we adjusted to that. When we think about grace, And the blessing that we have when we are saved by God's grace, I want you to think that the grace of God is not just something that happens to you. The grace of God allows you to see the environment where you're growing very different. When we are living under the trespasses, as the world says, and as the scripture says, where we're living on the life that we receive by what the world offers to me, by what we experience in this culture, is like living in a house where you need to adjust to be less. Because that's all what this community and our culture will be able to give to all of us. But when we understand that the grace of God is coming to transform my life, it's almost like I'm moving to another space. I'm moving to another house. And I'm not talking in here about prosperity gospel, that we're going to get a bigger house because we're blessed because we're Christians. What I'm talking about is because of the experience that you have in God, the way that we see this world is very different. The way we behave here is different. The way you value yourself is different. So you don't see yourself anymore as a person who's barely walking or incapable just to grow. But when you see yourself saved by the grace of God, you are a person who's able to show the image of God in yourself. I want you to take that as the main reason of your life. Think about yourself as a person who's carrying God's image. Do you understand that? It's a powerful reality for all of us. And it makes us see life very different. The value of who you are in God's hands is very powerful. But when you understand that, you start walking straight. You start walking as a person who has been forgiven. You start working as a person that is capable to say, you know, my life was broken, but now I have a new beginning with God. You start walking as a person who says, I can contribute to this place, something positive. And you are actually what the scripture says in that specific place. You are made alive. You are not created to have a life of survival. You are created to have a life that thrives and that comes from God's grace. And the last thing is what we know as the sanctifying grace. And I hope that we are all here. And if you are not here, I hope you get here as soon as possible. As people says, I'm you on Texas, or I wasn't from Texas, but I got to Texas as fast as I could, right? The same I hope for you on grace. I hope that you get to the sanctifying grace as fast as you can. And sanctifying grace is when we grow and mature in our ability to live as Jesus lived. We become that person that shows to others the love of God. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, remember the word peace, is the God of harmony, the God that brings balance in your life, sanctify you, I like that term, through and through. You get that? Through and through. Have you ever washed your car through and through? What does it mean? You're not going to leave any spot, right? Any spot is going to be clean outside, inside, through and through. You need to sometimes shower your dog. Through and through. What does it mean? Show me your paws. Everything. Through and through. It's going to be clean. So what he's telling us in here is sanctify yourself. How? Through and through. We need full cleaning. We need to be sanctified in every aspect. In our thoughts, in our emotions, in our actions, in our interactions with others. But it's something special. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's given us a purpose. You are going to be sanctified through and through when the Lord Jesus Christ is here. The purpose is to stay on that path all the way until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. That's our purpose in life. What it means is that we deepen our knowledge of God. It's when you start growing in this relationship. This is the beautiful thing of us as Christians, is that we don't believe in a God that is a static, big guy over there far away from me. That's not God. God is a God that relates to us. He's in relationship and connection with me and with you. And we need to know him better. You need to know God better this year than what you did in 2017 or 2018. We grow in knowing him as you do with any friend. What do you do to know somebody better? What do you do? You call them. If you are really United Methodist, you eat with them. We feed people. That's part of our ministry. We just connect with them. We go and have coffee together. We talk together. We cry together. We laugh together. We pray. Your strongest friends have seen you in every emotion. Your strongest friends have seen you when you are all beautiful and with all your makeup, and when you look and everybody screams and cries, you know? But they still love you, right? Those are your good friends because they know you deep. Your good friend will see you from distance and say, I know how you're feeling. Just by the way you are looking, I can see that you're not too happy today. Even though you're smiling to everybody and saying, I'm fine, because I know you so well, I can see where you are. It is the same with God. The more you know him, the more he knows you. And he knows you already. But you need to understand how he talks to you, how he connects with you. This is the time also, this sanctifying grace, when we strengthen our capacity to love. The more we are restored by the Lord and to give his love to our lives and transform us, the more capable we are to give and to give his love. Also, is the way we align with God, our thoughts and motives. It is what I'm doing, something that glorifies God. Now, let me clarify. This does not mean that what I'm doing is always perfect. As Christians, we will do mistakes. Amen? How many mistakes do you do a day? 10, 20, 105? You know, we all do mistakes. But the difference is your desire of your heart connected with the desire of the heart of God? That's the difference. You can do the mistake, but you can still be connected with God's desire. It's when there is a good intention, but it was probably done wrong. That will be okay, but you're trying to connect where the Lord goes. And what happens in here, like, it reminds me again about this big sequoia tree. The tree that we see is a consequence of that growth. It is the same with us. The person that you become in God's grace, what we see, what the people see, is the consequence of your relationship with God as a receiver of God's grace. What do people see in you? What do they see? What do they know about God through you? And what do they know about yourself as a person transformed by God? I love what Martin Luther King said here. Junior. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. This is what grace does. It gives us the capacity of be able to have God's love and to serve with others. So my invitation to you guys today, I think the best invitation that any pastor wishes for her congregation or his congregation is that you somewhere, you are in this train of grace. If you are right now in the beginning of that train where you're just starting to notice how God is constantly interrupting your life, even though you're telling God that he needs to be far away from you, I pray that God will keep interrupting you. It's really hard. And I pray for those family members and people that you love, that you know they need that grace, that God keep interrupting, keep showing that love in such a way that they cannot deny his presence. But maybe you are already understanding that God has loved you, but you don't know what to do. And sometimes we come with this very stupid mistake, thinking that I can respond to God's grace just when I'm right. If you are in that mindset, let me clarify to you, that's not how it works. We don't come to God when we are right. We come to God when we are broken. And he's the one who comes and restores us. So if today you are broken, come to grace. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the transformation that he has ready for you. Accept that he is the one who has loved you more than anyone else. And he has given his life so you can be able to thrive. Maybe you are in that process of sanctification. Maybe you have been in this train for a while. Every now and then it gets shaky, but you're still here. I pray that you today say, God, as I have been in this ride, allow me to keep being strong. Allow me to be more aligned with you, God. Allow me to be one of those persons who are called prophets, because by who they are manifesting to the world who you are. Because let me tell you, that's what this world needs. People that understand their process and understand their presence as one who brings God's image to the world. Would you like to be one of them? Would you like to bring hope to the world? So let's stand up together and just accept God's grace. Wherever we are, so transforms our lives.